sexual abuse. And I mean, I think some disappear and are just murdered and we never even find the bodies.
Phones in working order will be refurbished and exported to third world countries. For all the details of our mobile phone amnesty, go to our website www.lbc.co.uk. London's weather, well, it's going to be dry and bright with lots of wintry sunshine around this afternoon. Top temperatures, a fairly chilly 9 Celsius, and right now we have got 8 Celsius in Bow. That's London's weather with Well Woman Advanced Nutrition Capsules from Vitabiotics, available from chemists and health stores or visit wellwoman.com. It's now 1:03.
This is London's LBC 97.3.
It just makes you feel like you're in a real community. It involves the listener, it stimulates the mind, and people are always full of information.
London is a city with so many diverse views and opinions, and to hear those on one radio station makes life much easier.
London's LBC 97.3.
Real life. Real London.
London shops on Christmas Eve are strung with silver bells and flowers.
As hurrying clerks the city leave to pigeon-haunted classic towers.
And marbled clouds go scudding by
the many-steepled London sky.
And girls in slacks remember Dad.
And oafish louts remember Mum.
And sleepless children's hearts are glad.
And Christmas morning bells say come.
Even to the shining ones who dwell
safe in the Dorchester Hotel.
Happy Christmas from London's LBC 97.3. Real life, real London.
Sandy Toksvig. Sandy Toksvig.
Oh, you should see my lovely cupcakes. They are much too nice to go to waste. I asked him if he'd like a bite, and now he bites them every night. He likes to nibble on my cupcakes. He likes to nibble on my cupcakes. Just like his mother's, they're just right and left. They're not too big, they're not too small, they fit right in his grip. They're not too hard, not too soft, and there's a raisin on each tip. Oh, you should see my lovely cupcakes. They made him raise a hearty appetite. They're juicier than any steak, and he found out that they weren't fake. He likes to nibble on my cupcakes. Man, this guy has always eaten.
That was by special request of Bonnie Langford.
Yeah.
Wonderful song, Cupcakes. And it brings us on to our next subject, which is the best Christmas food that you can possibly get anywhere. Meanwhile, can I just remind you that we are still looking for an answer to the question, what's the point of ballet?
Nobody sent in any answers yet.
Well, I don't know. Tim's collating.
Okay.
The person who gives us the best reason... what's the point of ballet? We'll win 2 tickets to the opening night of the Nutcracker at the Coliseum tomorrow night. And it is, I promise you, it is going to be a lovely evening.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
just,
exquisite.
Yeah, I'm just being silly.
Yes, you're silly.
You can call us on 0870 90 90 973, or you can email me, Sandy, spelt with an I, at lbc.co.uk. Now, it has been part of my great delight in the time that I have been here to have a traditional relationship, if I might use that word, with the brilliant Rosalind Delicatessen. And last year, I was extremely privileged to be given one of their Christmas hampers. It is the finest Christmas hamper that you can come across, and it comes in the most beautiful box. Last year it was a wooden box which had a sort of a backgammon theme to it, and we are never disappointed because Helen Sherman is here from the Rosalind Deli, and I have to say, yet again, you've outdone yourselves. This year the boxes are staggeringly beautiful.
Thank you.
Can you describe them for the people without the digital radios?
Well, I thought I'd go for something completely different, and wildlife was what popped into my head one night. So we've got leopard spots on one type of box and tiger stripes on the other, on natural wood, and they do look pretty dramatic.
Well, and I have to say, that is the thing to just bear in mind. If I lift one up, actually,
they're like tuck boxes, aren't they? They're absolutely beautiful. They're furniture.
They're quite big.
Proper handles
they
on
are.
It.
Oh, they are. They're lovely. And, and the pin.
Absolutely
the
gorgeous.
Oh, yes. And it's got a proper sort of closing device. With the most beautiful metal pin, so that it is a box. I mean, I've still got mine from last year that you keep. Once you've eaten
it's like a treasure box, isn't it?
Yeah,
you ought to have a competition for the best answer for what you can do with it afterwards.
Okay, we will do that. We will say, if we provide you with one of these beautiful boxes, and the one that we are going to be providing for our listeners...
is a sun.
It's how big is it?
It's a sunbox. It's in size 17 inches by 13 inches by 9 inches, quite big.
Okay, it's a Tiger Wildlife box. It's 17 by 13 by 9 inches. What would you like to do with it when you have eaten all the gorgeous food inside? And the best suggestion we will be... can I just say, we're not going to be sending it to you because it is too beautiful a thing. You have to come and collect it, and then we get the pleasure of meeting you.
Yes.
Because I haven't had an opportunity, unfortunately, to get out and about as much in the last few months to do our outside broadcasts and meet all the various listeners. So this chance, we'd like somebody to come in and say hello. Maybe you could even come and say hello on air if you're not completely mad and dribbling. Always that risk, isn't
Might
there?
Might be dribbling if they see what's in the box.
Well, this is a high chance. Now, let's just go through some of the things that... Well, it's making me hungry having a look.
Well, that's right. I've got some bits here for you to try as you go along.
Let's do that now, then. Tell us what you think that we should try. Golly, there's some fantastic things in here.
Pear salsa with wine.
And you know the other thing that I think, particularly I think this with my more mature friends, is that a lot of us are fortunate. You know, I'm 47, I've been around for a long time. I don't really want any more things in my life.
Yes.
But to be given something with just delicious bits and pieces of food
luxury,
in it is just heaven. I mean, it is just the
it's
best.
It's just Thank things you. That you would never buy yourself.
Yeah, that's right. That's why. That's how that's I design treat, it. Yeah. I look for things that you normally just wouldn't go and buy yourself. So you've got in the sun box, you've got a drinking chocolate tablet with cinnamon. So just... to die for.
Pear salsa with wine. Handmade food.
Madeira sauce. You've got a beautiful panettone.
Can I just
artisan
say,
made.
If anybody gets panettone left over at Christmas, because sometimes they're quite big and you don't have them, makes the best bread and butter pudding that there is.
Oh, yum.
It's unbelievable. It's just so rich and luscious.
But this one won't be left over.
No,
of course not.
And a traditional Christmas pudding is included in
this? Yes, that's our only brush with tradition, really.
So what have you got in your hand there? You've got a jar of something.
Well, there I've got a salsa to eat with meat. I don't think this one's in the sun one.
Okay, well, let's give it a go. Because how many years have I been giving you awards as well? In
2 years.
2 years in a row I've been giving you awards.
That's right.
This is salsa de ribs.
Spill it all over
me, mate.
Spill it all over your nice top.
I'm doing well today. Having one of those.
Nice with a bit of things coming out.
Having one of those days. Can I, do anybody mind if I just put my little finger in?
I've got to taste it.
Oh. That's heaven. What's the sort of base of it? I mean,
currants.
It comes from
the Aosta Valley in Italy.
Right.
And I've been to the producers, and I've seen them making it and everything. It's a little village just on the Italian side of Mont Blanc.
Now, Helen, tell me, because you are such a foodie and you are so brilliant at sort of sourcing the right things and tracking them down, and hence you are award-winning. What will you be having for your Christmas lunch? Or will you be too tired of having dealt with all the food all year?
I will be doing it. I'm at Goose, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Goose this year.
See, we have duck every year. And just a quick trick here, if anybody's interested. Cook it to begin with, or upside down. Cook it breast down, because it'll let all the fat drain away. Is it the same with the goose?
Yes. Any burdock, to be honest. I do that with my chickens as well.
Yeah, and then when you turn it over, pour boiling water the last half an hour just over the top, and it'll crisp up all the skin beautifully.
Beautiful.
Your poorly will be...
steady cook here.
Yeah, I know. But I do love that.
You just morph, don't you?
It's the one meal... every year that I thoroughly enjoy doing.
I do. Yeah.
And bizarrely, I cook it with the lovely John Harris, who's just done the lighting for your pantomime, Bonnie. And he and I are the only ones who are allowed in the kitchen. And we celebrate Christmas Eve, and we dress up. All the men have to wear tuxedos, and all the ladies wear evening dress. And he and I are in there in our posh clothes with our pinnies on, making the meal. And it's one of my favourite things. And it's duck served with red cabbage and what we call caramelised potatoes, which is new potatoes done in a caramel. That's just so nice. But it's lovely, isn't
you
it?
Caramelised carrots as well.
That's a delicious thing.
And parsnips.
Yeah, but we'll have that the next day with ham.
Yum.
Yeah. And then when you're very, very tired, the following day, smoked salmon with cream spinach. Because it's light and nice sort of fresh thing to have. It's delicious. So what will you have with your goose?
Probably red cabbage.
Cooked with a bit of apple or a bit of sweetness to
it? Yes, with apple. Yeah. I'm going to stuff it with apple.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
So it'll give it a bit of tartiness. And I'm going to... Oh, I haven't thought about that.
See?
Much. You know, you seem to be so busy.
On the spot. Yes.
I'm on the spot now.
There's stuff to do.
There's a lot of stuff to do, yes. A lot of stuffing to do.
Now, what have you got in your hand there?
Well, here I've got the most gorgeous nuts covered with... In this case, it's strawberry, but in the hamper, it's with lemon.
Oh, lovely.
Lemon chocolate.
So what are they, almonds?
These are the white chocolates and lemon-coated almonds, right.
But unfortunately, you've got strawberry, which is just as good.
Oh, I don't think we'll mind.
You won't mind. But they are to die for, because when I first tried them, I just went, and ate the whole packet.
Oh, my goodness.
They are good, aren't they? There's something special, something different.
And there's also something about...
stunning.
The other thing I love, I mean, we do have at least one meal a week, the whole family, where we all get together and we light the candles and we lay the table properly and so on. But there's something about... putting out the white tablecloth and the polishing the candlesticks. And oh, do you know, I've got the most wonderful thing, because the smaller children always get a little bit restless because we celebrate in the evening.
Yes.
It seems like a long day to them.
Yeah.
This year, because my niece and nephew and my son are still of the sort of toy age, my girls are a bit too old, I've managed to get little Lego figurines of reindeer, snowmen, Santa Claus and so on. But they all come in a little kit and they've got to be made. So I'm going to get them to make them while they're waiting for the dinner.
Excellent idea.
As a little sort of Christmas decoration.
Oh.
Well, I have to say, the phones have gone completely mad. We are looking for the best thing that you could use your beautiful wooden hamper box afterwards. And as I say, last year's one was decorated with backgammon, and I use it to keep... You know, you always have sort of bits and pieces of games left. You've got cards and you've got bits of Scrabble, and so it's our games box that we have all our bits and pieces in. Mm. Actually... Yes, Helen.
They can actually see them online if they want to go to www.
Oh, excellent. Good idea. www.delirosslyn.co.uk. We'll put a link onto our website later in the day as well.
See what.
And if you haven't yet thought of what to get somebody, you couldn't go wrong, really.
Yes, yeah.
Well, as ever, we run out of time and you're stacking up beautiful things. Tell me just quickly what you've got here in front of us.
Well, I've got, this is traditional, handmade Seville marmalade with Scotch whisky.
Ooh.
Madeira sauce, homemade for us.
Just beautiful things.
Sautéed chicken in a cream and tarragon sauce.
Well, Helen, I'm only sorry that I shan't be here next year to give you your...
Tell us where you are.
Your award. Yes. I have no doubts. You will have it. And whoever wins our special Christmas hamper today, it is sent with a very Merry Christmas from all of us. And how much I've enjoyed over the last 3 years knowing
you.
And
enjoyed it too.
It's been terrific. Absolutely terrific.
Thank you very much.
I will let you know who has won the special food and also who has come up with the point of ballet in order to be able to go tomorrow night to the Nutcracker. And in just a moment, Tim Phillips is coming in to talk about getting away with it, which frankly we've been doing for 3 years now. But first we go to the travel with Richard Hakey.
Getting lots of calls regarding the Essex stretch of the M25 going clockwise, very heavy from junctions 29 round to 30, the A127 to the A13. Lots of traffic leaving at junction 30, maybe heading to the shopping centre. Terry, thanks a lot for your update. In Purfleet, we've got an accident on the A1090 Stonehouse Lane going northbound at the junction with the Purfleet Bypass. Lorry and a car in involved there. Most of the road reportedly blocked. In Bexley, the A2 East Rochester Way is down to one lane both ways at the Danton Interchange. That's for emergency roadworks. It's causing delays if you're heading out of town from Falconwood, coming into town pretty heavy from the Black Prince. And down in the south of town, the A23 Brighton Road, a real crawl coming into town from Hooley up towards South Croydon. An extra 30 minutes or so onto your journey there. If you know what's going on that stretch, 08000 68 60 80 is the jam line. We've got a broken down car on Putney Bridge. If you're going northbound, that's causing delays back onto Putney Hill. And on the tubes, Colliers Wood Station has been closed on the Northern Line for fire brigade safety checks. Piccadilly Line suspended between Ruislip and Uxbridge, and the Bakerloo and Central Lines are running with severe delays. Your next update in half an hour. LBC 97.3 Travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
Breakfast with the multi-talented Samsung D600. The mobile phone you can't manage without.
Your voice is fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought 6'3", Latin lover looks, but you're cuddly and I've warmed to you.
I want to fight you.
You want to fight me?
Yes, I want to fight.
No.
Why?
I did martial arts for 12
Whoops.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast, weekday mornings from 7 on London's LBC 97.3 with the Samsung D600, the mobile phone with TV output that lets you view photos, movies, PDF files and Microsoft Office documents on a TV screen. Sandy Toxby. Sandy Toxby.
Today, Sandy's joined by Hillary and Bonnie.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your lips are laughable, unphotographable. Is your mouth a little weak when you open it to speak? Are you smart? But don't change a hair for me. Not if you care for me. Stay, my funny Valentine. Stay.
And that was my very special friend, Bonita Langford.
My friend.
My friend. And
my
Sandy's friend. With My Funny Valentine, sung live from the BT Tower a couple of years ago. Is that right?
Yes, with the woman in the middle going, and the time is now. Exactly.
That is so moving, Bon.
1:23 p.m.
Oh, we've brilliant. All gone a little bit in the studio.
You are so talented. I can hardly bear it.
Yes.
No, you are.
I was too busy trying to sort out getting a hamper sent to my sister. Who's that woman singing in the background? Oh, me.
Now then. Oh, look, we've got jockeys. But you know what I think we're going to be spending the next 5 days just eating.
I'm sick actually already. I can't do Christmas.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to give these as a present. We're going to give these as a present to Tim. Tim Phillips has turned up
Thank
here.
Thank you.
And come in straight away.
Yeah, I was listening outside to all the food, and I'm thinking, I really hope she leaves some behind.
Well, there you go.
What are you doing for Christmas, Tim?
Oh, I'm going off to Prague actually for Christmas.
Oh, really?
Because,
how lovely!
Yeah, it's back to see the rallies afterwards because you know I find that whole sort of you know the Christmas thing is a bit intense for me all of a sudden.
Have you got quite a large family?
Not a huge family, but you know they a little goes a long way.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you play Christmas games?
Yeah, and unfortunately, though, I'm the most competitive, so I try not to spoil it for everyone.
What sort of Christmas games
do you play?
It's a boy
thing.
Because in our family, we play some rather extraordinary Christmas games.
Really?
Yes.
Naked Twister?
No. Have you ever played Obadiah's Dead?
No, never heard of it.
Oh, you have to play it.
How does that work, then?
Okay, she's about to tell us all. Stand by, listeners. With a pen.
My dad died in Baghdad. My dad did. Can't do that anymore, can he?
Okay, so everybody's sitting round.
Okay.
The whole nation to do this. Everyone's sitting round and, you know, feel it in a state of complete flux on Christmas. Mm-hmm. And one person stands up and goes over to the next person and says, and you have to hold your hands, you sort of like link your fingers and you twiddle your thumbs. And you go, Obadiah's dead.
Okay.
Obadiah's dead.
Right.
And the person sitting down says, how did he die? And you say, twiddle thy thumbs and follow me.
Okay.
So that person stands up and they walk around the room. And you systematically go around to each person who's sitting around.
Yeah.
By which time, they're all in a line behind you and you all line up.
Yeah.
And then the person at the front says...
And you actually do this at home.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a strange family. It says an awful lot about me. Does this not? I may be revealing a little too much.
I think so.
So you're all in a line.
Yeah.
And then the person at the front says, Obadiah's dead, Obadiah's dead. And then you all have to kneel down in a line, sort of up, and you go, and
this
then the person at the top says, well, he didn't die this way, he didn't die that way, he died this way. And the person at the front pushes everybody over, and that's the end of it.
But who wins?
Yeah.
Nobody.
See, Tim's only worried about who's won.
For goodness sake, nobody.
Now, Tim, talking about winning, yeah. I'm a little confused, darling, because you're here to talk about getting away with it.
Yes.
And your name's not anywhere on the book. So
yeah.
In that sense, you've got away with it, really. You've not bothered to write a book, but you're here to plug somebody else's.
I've blown it if I was trying to remain anonymous. No, the guy whose name is on the book, Steve Shipside, is the sort of like the Dark Lord of getting away with it.
Okay, good.
And he's actually got completely away with it because he's in Cape Town diving at the moment.
So what's your connection then?
Well, I might have contributed some of the book. The book is really a joint effort between a lot of people who have some expertise in different areas of getting away with it.
Oh, you see. Mm. But he, frankly, has done the best.
He's the sort of like the Darth Vader of getting away with it. Yeah. He went over to the dark side and he's not coming back.
See, this is very much like the one woman show that Bonnie and I are doing together.
Now retitled Getting Away With It on Tour.
Because what's going to basically happen is I'm going to make Bonnie sing a lot and then I'll just keep introducing songs and fundamentally I should be getting away with it. That'll be the way forward. We were reading some of the bits out and there was a bit that Hilary read to me out of this about how to make yourself look thinner, which I liked a lot.
Yeah. But it's something to do with your stance. You have to stand with one foot in front of the, slightly in front of the other, and hands on your hips to make your waist look smaller.
Play sugar bowl, basically.
And slightly tilt your shoulders, slightly askew, so you're sort of standing a bit like a Miss World contestant.
But if
really.
Bonnie does that, she will disappear.
Completely. No, Bonnie couldn't be any smaller.
But you see, I like this whole thing about bluffing, basically, because I've always thought that fundamentally in life it's about having confidence. So, for example, if I need to be excused and I'm in the centre of a large town, I do not bother to look around for public convenience. I look for the biggest 5-6-star hotel I can find.
So
I walk with enormous confidence
like you
into
own the
foyer,
place.
And they say, can I help you? And you say, no, thank you very much.
Do exactly the same.
I was in the Ritz the other day and the man said to me, he said, are those jeans? And I said, don't be ridiculous.
No, they're mine.
And he didn't say a word.
Like
he didn't say a word after that. And you're not, they're just very strict about wearing jeans in the Ritz. I just thought, oh, go away, you irritating young man. I don't know who you are. But it's that. It's about, mostly about confidence, isn't it?
It is. And it's they don't tell you this at school. Well, at least they didn't tell you when I was at school. The skill you're going to need afterwards are skills like, you know, how to get away with missing a deadline and making sure everyone else gets the blame. How to cover your lack of knowledge, because you're never going to have a chance to learn everything you need to know.
And also don't bother.
Because you
need it all anyway.
But these are hours you'll never have back. And this is what we say. It's a book for the way you live today. And also it's a very short book, so you don't have to put a lot of work effort into reading it.
And a small book. And great stocking filler.
Yes, you see. That is the way
forward. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, let's just go through a few of the things that people really ought to know. This time of year, get hog whimperingly drunk and not have a hangover. Mm. What's the key?
Well, there's several keys to this, but the one that I've really put into practice this year is don't drink the green and blue drinks.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a very good...
So, no night nurse.
What's going to happen to me?
Do you not think you learn early on in your life that you've reached a low point in the evening when your host says, I've got a bottle of Malibu around here somewhere? Is that not the moment, really?
Oh,
you
is that think? The time, yeah.
Yeah, that's
or
the moment.
That,
to...
that avocar, yellow stuff.
That's the moment to stop, just briefly.
Yeah, when I was young, we used to have that all in the... It used to be in a little cabinet, and then, the parents used to go to it at sort of Christmas and the stuff had separated out. And so basically don't drink that. That's a very good tip. And there is the guy that wrote that, who's very good at avoiding the hangovers, because I often go drinking with him. And there's a very, very long list of different nutrients and things to take before you go out in this. And it seems, if this is what he's doing, it's really working for him.
Well, I tell you the other thing, when I was a student and we had absolutely no money, we used to buy that very cheap wine. I think it was called Bull's Blood or something. Mm. And what you do, only works with red wine, but it does work a treat. You pour it out into a clean washing up bowl, and you beat it. You beat it to death with a mixer. And what you're doing is introducing lots of oxygen into the red wine, and then you decant it into a decanter and just let the froth kind of settle for half an hour. Nobody will know that it is not a fantastically expensive wine. Nobody. Because it'll taste so much better.
Yes.
And consequently, it'll
unless you leave it in the washing up bowl.
That is not successful.
Which sends a message when the guests come round.
Van de washing up.
Okay, let's try another one. Acquire a title when you're common as muck.
Yes. There, you can acquire the titles, and but not all titles are equal. And actually, the really good ones, really, they've been taken. But you
that
can
queen,
be
queen. Queen thing is gone. Isn't
oh,
it?
Has it?
Yeah, apparently.
Ah,
a royal dubry.
It's sometimes more effort than it's worth to have titles like that. But you can be a lord of the manor now, without actually having to have the manor.
See, that's the best way forward, really, isn't it? I think, to not have to bother.
Well, I don't know.
That'd be a good Christmas
manor,
present.
I am actually
buying somebody that you know a title.
But you know when you're saying about the hampers?
Yeah.
When you've got absolutely everything, what more could you want? Bonnie and I could club together and buy you a title. What would you like to be?
Well, I am just about to buy...
She's buying
about
a manor.
To buy a manor. So maybe... there's no title with it, though.
So you'll be Penelope Keith, then?
Well, yes, but shorter. See myself.
Wasn't she Sheriff of Guildford or something like that for a while?
Oh, yes, she is. Yes. Sheriff of Surrey.
Yes.
Something.
Lord High Sheriff.
Yes, some hat-wearing event.
Seeing her on her horse, you know. She's going to stop with that cowboy.
Here's a good one. Looking great in photographs. Disguise a wobbly chin in your photograph by sticking your tongue into the roof of your mouth.
Really?
Does that one... just look like I...
Everyone's trying it
apparently
now.
Apparently that makes your shoulders go down as well. Because a physio told me that the other day.
You see, we can all feel it going on, can't we?
How do you smile, though, with your tongue in your mouth?
That's the difficult bit. You have to look serious, perhaps.
It's like a Victorian photograph, yes. Like one of those
And it's not good if you have to have a conversation at the same time.
Good.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I do think that it is one of the things that I like is the idea of faking it when people are talking about something that you have no idea actually what they're talking about. And the trick to that is to just nod, I think, and smile faintly as if you're amused by their surface knowledge of the subject. Yes. You know what I mean? You just go,
Yes. Yeah.
And it's important, I think, one or two words. So, for example, if you're at a wine tasting, just the word meniscus.
Oh.
Okay, meniscus is the little clear bit where the wine meets the glass at the top, right? That's called the meniscus. And if you just go, look at that meniscus, doesn't matter whether you know.
Thank you for that. I should dine out on that one.
But is that not the same when we go backstage at a show that has been truly terrible and you just go, what about you then?
Hey, saw you.
Yeah.
You've done it again.
Yeah. Brave. I always think.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Or my favourite. Oh, what can I say?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, I think that this is terrific. And can I just say that Steve Shipside, who's got his name on the front, has really and truly got away with it. So therefore, we know that this book is a complete success. I'll give you details about how to get a hold of it in just a moment.
Now, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a good argument. So fortify yourself with The Spectator. Soften them up with a blast of Paul Johnson and Rod Little, backed up by the heavy guns, Peter Oborne and Mark Steyn. Or charm them with Tina Brown on Hillary Clinton, or Deborah Ross on The Queen's Midwife. And if all else fails, you can always mollify them with the cartoons. The Spectator Double Issue. It's out now. You can argue with the opinions. You can't argue with the writing.
Sandy Toksvig.
The book, Getting Away With It, which has sort of been written by Tim Phillips.
Sort of been written.
I know.
And others, yeah.
And others is published by Infinite Ideas. And I tell you what, it is absolutely the right size to stick in somebody's stocking. And we'll put all the details up on our website, including a click through to Amazon so you can purchase it directly.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
It's 1:30. Good afternoon. I'm Claire Miller. The Home Secretary is calling for an urgent investigation into the events surrounding the murder of London businessman John Monckton. The final verdicts have been returned on Damien Hanson and Elliot White following the violent robbery in Chelsea last year. Property baron Nicholas Van Hoogstraten was directly linked in the shooting dead of one of his business rivals in Surrey 6 years ago. The High Court ruling comes despite him being cleared on appeal in December of the manslaughter of Mohammed Raja. The UK's first same-sex marriage has taken place in Belfast. New civil partnership laws came into force there this morning. Shannon Sickles and Gráinne Close have told reporters outside Belfast City Hall they're delighted. In sport, Formula One world champion Fernando Alonso is switching teams and joining Woking-based McLaren in 2007. The move starts a game of musical chairs, which could see the retirement of Michael Schumacher at the end of next season. It's likely he'll be replaced at Ferrari by current McLaren star Kimi Räikkönen. And X Factor winner Shane Ward is a dead set for the Christmas number one, according to the bookies this lunchtime. You can get his single That's My Goal in shops on Wednesday. The 21-year-old says he'll spend his first pop star earnings on taking his mum on holiday. London's weather, bright and sunny this afternoon. Highs of 9, right now 8. It's 1:31.
London's LBC 97.3. Sandy Toksvig.
Today, Sandy's joined by Hillary and Bonnie.
But
Special request there. I'm a Mormon. And if you've got anything that you would like to hear, this is our very last week of broadcasting here at LBC. As we move on to other fields, Timothy will be moving on to programmes here, and Bonnie and I will be moving on to any theatre that will take us, frankly. It's the way forward. Hilary, you'll come and see us being silly, won't you?
Absolutely.
Quick question. What's grey, yellow, grey, yellow, grey, yellow, grey, yellow, grey, yellow, grey, yellow?
It's got to be something to do with an elephant.
Yes.
And I'm not sure. Is it an elephant rolling down a hill?
Yes, with something in its mouth.
A banana.
A banana in its mouth.
Could be. It's a daisy, but we're liking the banana thing better.
Ha ha.
What is Santa's favourite pizza?
Oh.
One that's deep and crisp and even.
Oh, that's deep nice. And crisp and even.
Yes,
I like that one.
So much to say, it's a little time to say it in. Now then, we were asking, did you like one of the Rosslyn Deli boxes? And in fact, I think Bonnie's just already gone straight away and ordered one, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I've ordered one.
Because they are just stunning.
They are beautiful.
And apart from the delicious food inside, the question is, what would you do with the box afterwards? Fred in Ilford says, DDS, as I suffer from SADS, which is seasonal adjustment...
Affective disorder.
Thank you.
Yes.
Bonnie is my science correspondent. I could do with a sunbox and I'd love a portable zoo that isn't cruel to the animals. Oh that's very nice. Mm-hmm. Claire says, Dear Sandy, I'm a hard-working office manager who has been abandoned by my colleagues to finish off the work before Christmas. It's a disgrace, Claire, that you're listening to the radio while you're...
Yes, get to
office
work.
Office managing.
Oh, she's got to have a bit of light relief.
I like boxes. Oh, okay. Not a sentence I've ever read out before. I like boxes and I think I can use the empty box to store all my Christmas decorations in, although I'm tempted to empty the box of its delights and parcel up this week's work to send to the team once I enjoy the contents with my family. We're also looking for, and we shall print some of those up in just a moment, what's the point of ballet? Because we're giving away two tickets to the Nutcracker. What do you get? Oh, see, I know you'll know this one, but I like it. What do you get if you eat Christmas decorations?
Tinselitis!
Who hides in the bakery at Christmas? A mince spy.
That's a real groan.
See, we've so much to give away, and that's just because we are kindness itself, and also because we're just trying to clear everything out.
Office,
because I can't take everything home with me, frankly. So there's a lovely, lovely evening coming up, which is Ted Hughes Collected Poems for Children, and what we've got is four tickets to give away. For this, it is with Alex Jennings, Juliet Stevenson, the brilliant Michael Morpogo, former poet laureate for children, and Jacqueline Wilson, the current poet laureate for children, both of whom I count, I have to say, as my friends, and I'm delighted to do so. And there's going to be projections of Raymond Briggs's original drawings, and this all takes place... Oh, it's tonight! It's tonight! So, I tell you what we'll do. It's at 6 o'clock tonight at the Littleton Theatre. Here is a lovely and quick thing. If you would like to go, first person to call in, we'll get the tickets. 0870-9090-973. Why not suddenly surprise your family with a lovely treat and go along? It's going to be at the Littleton Theatre. And I have to say, they have completely transformed that bit of the South Bank down there. It is just lovely now. There is the very first Foyles bookshop that's not on the Charing Cross Road. There's lots of lovely little restaurants. There's lots of lights up. You could walk down to Gabriel's Wharf and see where they've put up lots of Christmas decorations and so on. What a lovely evening. Just completely unexpectedly, why not take four of you along to hear some of the most interesting writers and performers do Ted Hughes's Collected Poems for Children. It's tonight at the Littleton Theatre at 6 o'clock, 0870-9090-973. First person to ring in will get four tickets. Because, you see, that's just nice,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Nice. Very nice. Do it, isn't it?
Sue Pearl, DDS, why do we have ballet? It gives blokes who want to wear tights in public a legitimate outlet.
I like that one.
Also, it gives ladies like me an opportunity to ogle men's bums without annoying the husband.
That's worrying. It's worrying.
And she's very sweet. She says, we'll miss you terribly. I've loved every brilliant moment of listening to your radio show. Good luck for 2006 and season's greetings. Thank you, Sue. And if any of you sitting out there, you know, I've spent 3 years sitting here saying, you must live out your dreams and go and do the things that you want to do and not get stuck in a rut. And that is something I have to say, there are various things that Bonnie's up to next year and I'm up to next year, which we shan't be announcing yet. But trust me, neither one of us is going to be in a rut.
I'm well out of my comfort zone,
you
I can
are,
tell
darling.
You. I've got the bruises to prove it.
Do you not think, though, that is one of the best things? I saw the lovely Anna Ford being interviewed the other day. She's giving up reading the news on the BBC.
Oh, was that yesterday on old Andrew Marr's programme?
And she said she was so excited because she wanted to do something which was difficult, which stretched her. Mm. And she wasn't poo-pooing reading the news, but she said she'd been doing it for so many years that she no longer thought about it. She just sat there and she did it. And it's true for all of us, whatever, whether we are Claire, the office manager, or whether we are the person in the panto, whether it's the challenge that actually makes you get up in the day and think, OK.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I'm going to do something now with
having
my
a new
life.
Focus.
Yeah, absolutely. And that thing where you think, I'm not completely sure I can do this.
Mm.
Not 100% sure.
Mm, but to go for it.
Yeah, yes, I think
exactly.
So. I can't tell you how much food is arriving here.
It's hysterical.
This is ludicrous.
Tim, could you go and produce the programme in here, darling, because so much food has arrived.
It's a bit too much, isn't it?
Tim is querying the French sentence, produce the programme.
Yes. Sorry.
I usually go off in my own...
You
know. Go off in my own direction. And the lovely John is here. Merry Christmas to you, John.
Merry Christmas to you.
Doing a lovely job of unveiling the food for us.
Pleasure. Did you want some?
I will do, darling, yes. What do I care? I've been eating on this programme for 3 years now. I have no problem at all.
It's a non-stop lunch.
Yeah. Well, you've got a lunchtime show. It's the word lunch.
Yes.
You see, I think is a critical part of the show. I think that's very, very important.
Do you know, I think you're right.
Yeah. Liz Sankey is off to the Littleton this evening with three friends. Liz, I hope you have a wonderful time and a very Merry Christmas from us. And I'm sorry that the actual Ted Hughes won't be there. That was my...
He will be in spirit.
Mistake. Now then, here is an extraordinary thing. I never cease to... I love America. Indeed, I should be going off for the new year to America.
Are you?
Yeah,
Where are you going?
I go to Cape Cod every new
year.
Oh,
wonderful.
And people say to me, why do you go? It's going to be snowy. And I go,
that point is.
Yeah, that would be the reason. And,
of course. But don't you think it's because in this country, we have a little drop of snow, we can't cope with it. We have a bit of sunshine, we can't cope with it. We have the leaves fall off the trees, they're the wrong kind of leaves, you know, all that stuff. It's always as if we're in a constant state of surprise that weather happens.
They embrace the season over there, don't
they? Whereas in the States, you go, or wherever, it's not just the States, it's everywhere, that they appear to be more prepared.
Well, I have a friend of mine who I have been friends with since I was 13. We went to high school together in America. And she has the most beautiful house on Cape Cod with open fireplaces and so on.
Oh.
And she just lets me have it for the winter season, and she lives in Boston. And then when I've finished, I've had a week there of just and eating clam chowder and relaxing. Then I meet up with her in Boston, and we go out for dinner. And what is a wonderful thing? So what's that? 34 years we've been friends. Nothing has really changed. And even though we live on opposite sides of the Atlantic, we're in constant email communication with each other. And I sit down, and there's no expectation from each other. There's no thing about what did you achieve or not achieve.
It's a wonderful, comfortable feeling with a really close friend, isn't it? Comfortable in each other's silence is a good expression, isn't it?
That's exactly it.
When you can be in the same room as somebody and not have to think of things to say.
Apart from on the radio, where it works less well.
Yes,
can't think why.
Silence doesn't work that well, does
it's
it?
It's not quite so successful.
Anyway.
But you're right.
Yeah.
And also the fact that then she then comes to Britain. And we had a wonderful thing. She wanted to go to Scotland, and she said, I want the full Scottish experience. Well, I managed to find a castle.
Great.
A proper Scottish... you know, American Hollywood version of Brigadoon. And I rented us rooms, and she got the suite in with her partner in the turret. And as it just chanced, and sometimes things just work out, there happened to be a wedding going on when we arrived, and there was a flock of men in kilts playing the bagpipes in a sort of line that we had to walk through. Because
like
they
you
were
arranged
actually,
it?
Yeah. They were actually waiting for the bride and groom.
Oh, lovely.
And I went up to them. I said, just play for my friends as she walks through. And they went, yeah, no problems, Andy. And they played the thing. And then she said, it was just... And she was so sweet because she and her partner had specially bought silk pyjamas because they felt they couldn't really sleep in a castle if they weren't wearing kind of silk pyjamas. So.
That's adorable.
So it was just lovely. Can I just say that our ballet winner, who didn't need to give a reason... what's the point of ballet, is Olivia in Finchley. She's 13 years old, and she is so excited about the prospect of going to see the Nutcracker. So,
that's the point of ballet.
Nice.
I'm pathetic.
Pleases somebody.
Yes.
But see, that makes me well up, and I don't even know Olivia in Finchley. It's pathetic, isn't it?
She's going to have the most lovely evening now.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic.
And they're so good. English National Ballet are beautiful, and they do make it look effortless.
Well, I can tell you that Marion in Richmond wins the hamper. She's going to use the box as a photo trunk to keep all the pictures of her children in. Best to lock them away, darling. You don't want them out on the piano driving everybody mad. Now, I have tried over the last 3 years that we've been here to also bring you stories that perhaps other people overlook, or certainly the British press tend to overlook, and I don't know why, but anyway, it is my privilege to try and broadcast these things in a wider sense. And there is the most beautiful Himalayan nation called Bhutan. I have to say I've never been. I've seen lots and lots of photographs, and it is one of the things that next year, when I'm freed up from having a daily job, that I will be able to travel a great deal more, and it is one of the places that I would like to go. It lies between India and Tibet, and it is regarded in the Eastern books of wisdom as the abode of the gods and the home to the immortals. And it's not really surprising, because it is unbelievably beautiful, right up in the Himalayas with the snow-topped mountains. Mm. And it is thought to be where Buddha travelled on the back of a tiger. Did I don't care whether it's true.
Sold.
Yeah.
Sold to
O'Neill.
Yeah. Did Michael Palin go there on one of his travels?
He did, yeah. He has been up into the area, and it is quite closed off. It is one of those, it's a tiny little place. It's about this, well, not tiny, it's about the size of Switzerland, but it's not huge by comparison to the other countries that are around. It is a completely landlocked country. It's surrounded by mountains. There's the sort of Tibetan plateau up on the north, and then you get all the wonderful greater and, what I love, lesser Himalayas. The junior Himalayas, and people have been living there for generations. The indigenous population is called the Drukpa, and I would love to go, because anything place that has that kind of geographical isolation has managed to retain its own culture in a way without being spoiled, if you like, by other cultures. Well, here is the most extraordinary story, and yet another reason to go. The king of this tiny country, and it is a name I have to say that I really couldn't properly pronounce, Yigme Sing Wangchuck, he has decided to step down. And he is stepping down because he feels it is time that the country turned into a parliamentary democracy. Now, you never hear these good news stories. Here is a country that has had no fighting. Here is a country that has not been at civil war with itself, or people campaigning or so on. In fact, interestingly, when you look at the reaction to the people, they're rather shocked. Because they like they don't really want it. They like the king.
Is he of a grand age?
Well, let's see. There is still going to be a king, but not in terms of being in charge, and it's going to be the crown prince, and the crown prince is 50. Mm. So he's stepping down for his son. So he must be in his 70s, I would imagine. But he has simply decided that it's the right thing for his people, that they must now rule themselves in this modern age.
Someone thinking about the people instead of themselves.
Isn't that, and, you know, name that politician, frankly.
Come back to me on that one.
Yeah.
The sad part is that maybe those politicians, you know, the people, there will be people then that maybe don't have the same integrity that he has. That may be why the people are not so pleased about the idea of it.
But you have to trust.
Of course you do.
You have to trust.
And if he's retaining a figurehead, then I'm sure
that his son will be there. Mm. It is one of the hotspots in the world in terms of looking at wildlife. There is the snow leopard, the tiger, the water buffalo, the elephant. I mean, can you imagine? Mm. So one of the places that I plan to hie myself off to, and indeed, if Bonnie's in my show goes very well, I feel the people of Bhutan
may be in for a treat.
Yeah, they'll be looking.
There'll be a democracy there now. Yeah. They'll be voting.
Really be intrigued. Can you imagine what they'd make of us?
No.
I can't even begin to think. I think even the tigers would go, huh?
I beg your pardon. I think one or two of my jokes not go down all that well. In just a moment, I bring you the percentage of Americans who believe that the virgin birth of Christmas is literally true. But first, we go to the travel with Richard Hakey.
A couple of problems to watch out for towards the southeast of town. First of all, in Catford, we've got a broken down lorry on Brown Hill Road at the Catford one way. That's causing delays on all approaches. Bexley and the A2 East Rochester Way is down to one lane both ways at the Danton Interchange for emergency roadworks, causing delays now if you're heading out of town from Kidbrook and coming into town very heavy but moving from the Black Prince. The breakdown's cleared on Putney Bridge going northbound, although there's still very heavy queues back along Putney High Street and onto Putney Hill. And to the west of town in Hammersmith, Askew Road remains closed both ways between Becklow Road and Hayden Park Road with an accident there. That's a popular cut through from Uxbridge Road to Goldhawk Road. On the trains, One Rail have delays and cancellations between Enfield Town and Liverpool Street. That's due to industrial action. The advice there is to check with National Rail before you head off. And we've got no service on Wagon between Finsbury Park and Moorgate. That's due to a broken down train. Your next update in half an hour, LBC 97.3 Travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
All your critical information is on your office PC. How do you work from home or while travelling? You probably copy everything to disk, email files to yourself, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. There's a better way. Go to My PC, the easy and secure way to access your PC from anywhere, all over the internet. Log on to gotomypc.co.uk and your desktop instantly appears, just as if you were sitting in front of it. Work with all your programs and files, check email, and utilize any network resource. All you need is internet access. With GoToMyPC, anything you can do at your office PC, you can do from anywhere. No wonder GoToMyPC won a 2005 world-class award for remote access from US magazine PC World. And now you can try it free for 30 days. Visit gotomypc.co.uk, click the radio listener button and use promo code LBC97.3. That's gotomypc.co.uk, radio listener button, promo code LBC97.3. Try Go To My PC free today. Terms and conditions apply.
Sandy Toxley.
Today, Sandy's joined by Hilary and Bonnie.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious.
Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad. My father gave me nails a tweak and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word to say we ain't the nose.
The biggest word you ever heard, and this is how it goes. Oh,
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Oh, my showbiz heart is heavy. The lovely Bonnie Langford and Hilary O'Neill giving it the full panto finish there.
It never leaves you.
Never
had it in the first place.
No, exactly. Here's a lovely story.
Come on.
And I love this.
Yes.
Angie.
Yes.
Diana.
Yes.
This guy, 37-year-old driver in Massachusetts, had left his car unlocked. And when he got into the car, there was a £10,000 diamond ring wrapped in a note which said, "Merry Christmas. Thank you for leaving your car door unlocked. Instead of stealing your car, I gave you a present. I hope this will land in the hands of someone you love.
Oh.
For my love is gone now."
Oh.
I'm going to cry.
So hello. Isn't that extraordinary?
That is.
How sweet is...
Oh, that's a bit dodgy.
Wait a minute, quick joke. I need a quick joke. What kind of paper likes music?
Water paper.
Wrapping paper.
Except
I quibble with the word music.
Yeah.
Frankly, wrapping.
Like poetry, isn't it? That's what they say. It's like poetry.
What is?
Rapping is like poetry, isn't it?
Yo, my man. I would be the worst, would I not?
I think you'd be an excellent rapper.
Do you think?
I do.
I think I speak too beautifully.
I think, could you not imagine, was it not Reginald Bosanquet that did a rap years ago and it was just awful? It was so bad, it was good. It was so bad.
Was it an Irish jig?
Do you not miss those newscasters with a personality?
Yes.
I mean, these days, none of them ever make mistakes or get drunk or anything.
When he used to turn his head, the hair stayed still, didn't
he? Yeah.
One of the best rugs of all time.
And who's the really tall one? Gordon Honeycomb.
Yeah, my favourite was Peter,
Sandy, what was
Peter Woods. Do you remember Peter Woods, who had the big bags under his eyes?
Yes.
And on one occasion, he introduced the news.
Sandy Gall.
Yes,
that's right. Peter Woods introduced the news, and he said that today the trade figures are out, and they're well, they're awfully high. they cut to the globe going around.
Yeah, quick
said it was his antihistamine medication.
Yes, of course.
I did a cruise recently, and it was a classical theme cruise, and Richard Baker was on with some phenomenal singers and musicians. And the moment he walked on stage, everyone just sort of like went, "Oh, his heart's winner." And as soon as he started talking, it was like a wobbly TV screen going back in time, because that was my childhood. Richard Baker reading the news, and I knew I had to have a bath and go to bed just after that.
And do you know, he used to narrate that children's program, Mary, Mungo and Midge.
Oh, yes!
Do you remember? I used to love that.
Lunchtime. Which one was Mary Mungo and Midge?
Can't sing Mary Mungo.
Do you remember Mary Mungo?
If anybody could ring in and sing Mary Mungo and Midge, I'm sure I can find a gift for you.
And Midge had to somewhere. Be on the nose of Mungo to reach the buttons in the elevator.
Oh, they were the days. They were the days.
Good old newscasters.
Anyway.
He's completely lost.
Okay. I've picking up.
Oh, I've lost them. Here. Here's a Newsweek poll that is slightly breathtaking. The whole story, I think it's a given fact, kind of historically, that there was a person called Jesus Christ. It's a given fact that he wasn't born at Christmas, that that's put together with some kind of pagan thing and so on. Right. But they've done this poll, and Newsweek, I have to say, very respectable place, that suggests that 55% of Americans believe that every single word in the Bible is true. The whole thing that two rabbits, two giraffes, two elephants, the boat thing. I mean, just think. 67% believe the entire story of Christmas: the virgin birth, the angels coming, the shepherds, the star of Bethlehem, the wise men from the east. I mean, it's slightly breathtaking.
Are you going to tell me that Father Christmas doesn't come down the chimney next?
No, that bit is true. My dad used to tell us stories because we used to tell us stories about elves and all this kind of thing. And he said to us, well, if you don't behave, there's an elf that lives in our house called Kamuka. And Kamuka will come and get you.
Where did he stay?
Turn you off. Well, he was a little red sort of thing. We still got him. He's losing some of his stuffing. Anyway, and... he lost his stuffing some years ago now. And so there was a little tiny red elf, and he would sit up in sort of rafters, and Gamuka would do this, that, and the other. And I believed every word of it. And discovered years later that Gamuka was a Polish dictator along with the likes of Ceausescu.
Oh, my dad had been taken the mick! Had he not chosen another name?
He was joshing with you.
I went on to do that later on, because we've got stuffed toys for my kids. We've got a duck called Peking. We've got Ceausescu Bear. I just thought... it worked for him. It'll be all right.
He's got a pet bear called Goebbels or something.
Yes, yeah. It sinks in, just to have a laugh.
Yes.
Yeah, you give Goebbels a cuddle, don't you?
I will give Goebbels a cuddle. Yes. Okay, we're getting into the Christmas spirit today.
Oh, we so are,
because this is it now, countdown. There's no getting away from it.
And every year,
I try to do the bar humbug thing, but I always get swept up. This year, I'm buying myself a Christmas present. Do you ever buy yourself a Christmas present?
No. I don't buy myself anything.
We go shopping and end up not buying any presents for anybody else. We're buying all sorts of things for ourselves. It's terrible.
What are you going to buy yourself? I don't know yet. I think it's going to be a piece of jewellery, but I'm going to give myself a budget. I'm going to buy a present for myself. I'm going
to
get some new nets for the house. This is for me to give me. I'm going to get some new nets for the house, but that's for the house. No. This is going to be something for me.
But you see, here's a funny thing. I thought the other day, about a month ago, I thought, I'm going to buy myself a good watch.
There you go.
Not a cheap Timex thing, but a really good. And I bought myself quite an expensive
and
watch.
And so you should.
Yeah, no, I've put it in a drawer and I can't wear it.
Oh, why?
Because I'm sort of embarrassed.
No. I've got lists of food, presents for nieces, nephews, uncles, and I'm missing off that list. I'm putting myself on the list. I've worked very hard this year.
Should your partner not put you on the
list? He can buy me something as well.
He better.
You better believe.
Yeah.
But I'm going to buy myself a present. We've got to talk about X Factor. I need to talk to you, young lady. Celeb crushes. If you had a wild
have you
card,
got a crush
sorry,
on
I was
going
to say you got a crush on me.
No.
I'm scared now. I'm in the building.
X Factor, I need to talk to you. I mean, this isn't. And anyway,
can I just say, Angie, that Bonnie was reading out correspondence from her stalker.
Oh. Yes, it was a worry.
It was a worry, actually. Yeah.
Especially the photographs.
Yeah.
Oh no. Mm.
Oh dear.
I got a really, really strange email from somebody who's worried about her husband wanting to become a house husband. And I just find that very, very weird.
What, her worry or that he wants to be a house husband?
He wants to be a house husband. She's not sure why, what's going on.
Which bit worries you? Her reaction
why,
or his?
Why would you be worried that your husband wants to be hands-on?
No, how fab is that?
There you go.
Yes.
There you
right,
go.
Okay.
Can I take a mince pie?
You can. Oh. We are awash with food, frankly, if I'm completely honest with you.
Merry Christmas.
Bye, Angela Andy. Diana Greaves will be broadcasting to you very, very shortly after... Heavens, where's the time gone? It's just extraordinary.
It's gone up the clock.
The Surreal McCoy, who is a completely brilliant cartoonist, has sent in a cartoon of Robinson Crusoe and Man Friday on their island, and floating behind is Widow Twanky and a pantomime horse, and Robinson Crusoe's going, behind you!
Classic.
She is completely brilliant. And I'd say we should pay tribute to her, because she has also, over the last 3 years, given a completely wonderful contribution to this show, as have so many people who have written in. And don't forget, another 4 days before we pack up a shop here. Well, actually, we pack up our Hamper, I think, is correct. Yes. We pack up our hamper and move on to other pastures. So if there is anything that we can do for you, any subject that we haven't covered or any silly nonsense that you think that we ought to absolutely make sure that we cover. And don't forget, this Friday, at what time, Timothy, are we going to do the pantomime?
Are you Harpist doing a
pantomime? Yes, Harpist One. We're doing a special pantomime that Steve Campbell and myself have somehow managed to cobble together.
Fantastic.
We might have a rehearsal, we might not.
Why break the habit of a lifetime?
Well, this year Sandy does Carol.
Okay.
Christmas Carol, just making it really clear for everybody where we're heading with that. We have managed to persuade Tim to come from the other side of the glass, and this time he is going to play Tiny Tim.
Oh, yes.
Inspired. You see, it is the way forward. Now, very, very quickly, one of the great joys of my life at Christmas is that my daughters went into the Barbie phase and out fairly quickly. It was a hideous period of my life.
They're still in it.
It was ghastly.
Isn't that funny? Most mums are worried about going out all night. Where are they? They're not at the youth club. They're surrounded at someone's house.
No,
yours
I have no problem.
The pink phase.
It's the pink. We had castles and it was horrible. Oh. Much plastic in the house and all of it needed fitting together. I spent most of Christmas Eve slotting things together. Here is an extraordinary finding. They did a study of 100 children about their attitudes to popular products, and most junior school children, when shown a Barbie, were provoked into hatred, violence and rejection. actual physical violence and torture towards the doll was repeatedly reported quite gleefully across age, school and gender. The types of mutilation were both varied and creative and range from removing the hair to decapitation, burning, breaking and even microwaving.
Good heavens.
I never thought of it.
You know, actually, Barbie has gone even one step ahead, because I was in a shop the other day and they now do a divorced Barbie in a box. And with
really?
Yeah, they do. Divorced Barbie. And with it, you get Ken's house, Ken's car, Ken's golf clubs.
Hey! Good gag.
So you guys are working now continuously?
Yes.
Yes, actually.
Get Christmas Day off.
Christmas Day off. Santa Claus the Musical, Southampton.
Yep, obviously.
Christmas Day off, and then I finish that on Jan 15. Then I'm off cruising straight away to Sydney in Australia.
Oh, that'll be nice.
I'm very lucky. Got a lovely leg of the world cruise.
You've got some sunshine.
I know. And Bonnie, you're at Guildford, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm at Guildford.
Bonnie and I will be taking to the road.
What's your show going to be called?
Short and Curly.
Perfect.
Thank you. We shall be taking to the road next year, but what a privilege it's been to do this lovely show with you two. Thank you.
Your delight, Sandy. I just want to say thank you so much for all the fun we have had on the air. It will be greatly missed, but we're going to take it out into the live arena.
Yeah, fun and food. And tomorrow we're having a dame of the day, the brilliant Clive Rowe, is coming in to talk
fabulous.
To you. Yeah, he's fantastic. We leave you in the safe embrace of Angela Diana Greaves.
Thank you, Sandra Birgitta Toksvig. Okay. If your husband or boyfriend came home and said, listen, honey, I'd like to be a house husband, how would you feel about it? Got a very strange email in. We'll talk X Factor. We'll talk Christmas presents. We will also be having you on the phones and the texts and the email. London's LBC 97.3.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
It's 2 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Claire Miller. A former drug addict has been convicted of wounding with intent the wife of London businessman John Monckton. The verdict on Elliot White from Shepherd's Bush is the last in the trial at the Old Bailey following the violent robbery of the family home in Chelsea. White and his co-defendant Damien Hanson will be sentenced in the new year. Outside the Old Bailey, Mrs. Monckton's solicitor Roy Campbell read this statement.
Last year, Mrs. Monckton, her daughters and her family lost a husband, a father, a brother, and in short, lost John Monckton, an exemplary family man who was brutally murdered in his own house a little under a month before Christmas.
Property tycoon Nicholas Van Hoogstraten's been held responsible by the High Court for the murder of business rival Mohammed Raja in South London 6 years ago. He'd previously been cleared of manslaughter on appeal in the criminal courts. The ruling is crucial to the £6 million civil action being brought against him by Mr. Raja's family. Sky's Paul Brennan was in court and says the judge had this to say.
I'm satisfied on the balance of probabilities, taking full account of the seriousness of the allegations that Mr. Van Hoogstraten recruited two highly dangerous thugs to murder Mr. Raja. He goes on to say the evidence pointing to this conclusion is overwhelming. Now, this isn't the end of this legal process. It's, in a way, just the start. What it has done, though, for the Raja family is good.